And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Roman Reigns returns, and the WWE cashes in faster than a Money in the Bank briefcase. John Jones takes 5 rounds to defeat Anthony Smith. And yes, my all-time favorite, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time, the Honky Tonk Man, is named to the WWE Hall of Fame. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, broadcasting on TSN 1150 and online at mlwradio.com and patreon.com/snmeradio. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got 2 hours of pro wrestling chatter coming at you with a side of MMA. It's been a very notable week in the world of WWE with the return of Roman Reigns. And here to comment on that, a man that will be returning to this program after an extended medical leave, my favorite wrestling recapper, Larry Zonka. Now, as many of you know that follow Larry, he's had a very rough time these past few months, but we're happy to have him back, and he's going to fill you in on what he's been going through. And of course, then we'll get back to what we do best, and that's chatting about what happened this week in the world of wrestling. Looking ahead to next week, though, we're going to be covering the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view live right here on TSN Radio. And with the mouth on vacation, bartender Dave has agreed to take the 6-pack challenge with me and is also going to join me next week live on the show with Mark Andrada to be my co-host. But tonight, it's all about beers, and very fittingly, the bartender will be doing the bets. Plus, all of our regular features, Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Insider, the very first quarterfinal match of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, and of course, lots of your feedback. You're listening to Sunday night's main event. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SNME Radio. Taking a break, coming on back to get you up to date with the week in wrestling news right here on TSN Radio.
Can this chair turn savage?
That chair came off.
MLW just made Saturday nights turn savage on BN Sports, the world-class sports network.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Alrighty, here we go. It's your week in wrestling news on Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Let's kick things off with the story of the week, which is, of course, the return of Roman Reigns, as well as Ric Flair's 70th birthday party, while they led Raw to its best ratings in 6 months. Raw averaged 2.92 million viewers this week, up 5% from the February 18th post-elimination chamber episode, which had been the highest rated Raw in more than 5 months. We shall see if this continues on to this week's show. I'm gonna bet no. A couple sad news notes here in regard to some wrestling veterans and legends. The first having to do with longtime WWE employee and ring announcer Howard Finkel. Now, Jerry Lawler had mentioned on this podcast that Finkel suffered a stroke in July of 2018 and has been in very poor health ever since. WWE has not made any comments about the health of Finkel to date, but we will continue along following with this story. Apparently, the prognosis is not good. There was also a report this week about the health of Harley Race, which stemmed from something Ric Flair said at an appearance. Flair mentioned that Race has terminal cancer. Now, since this time, David Marquez of Hollywood Wrestling spoke to Race's family and sent out a tweet clarifying things, saying, "I've just spoke to Harley Race's family, and yes, he has been diagnosed with lung cancer, but it's not terminal. He's been treated and supervised by his doctors. He's still very active in World League Wrestling and appreciates everyone's concerns." So that is the status of Harley Race. Once again, not good, but not terminal, is what we have learned. Moving on to other current news items now. According to a story in Pro Wrestling Sheet, Dana Warrior, the widow of the Ultimate Warrior, is now working for the WWE in a creative role. The report initially stated she was working with the writing team to add more of a female perspective on angles. It was later clarified by Dave Meltzer that she's being used as a consultant. Meltzer also clarified this week that it looks like Bruce Pritchard's role is more of a consultant as well, as opposed to the magnitude it was originally thought to be and was reported last week. For those of you that heard the rumors last week that Undertaker was starting a podcast called Dead Man Talking, well, here's the actual story on this. Starcast has applied for the trademark on Dead Man Talking. It's a great name. And that's how the rumors all started. However, this was done for a proposed speaking tour with The Undertaker as opposed to a podcast. At present, there is no deal in place for an Undertaker podcast and no details on this proposed speaking tour. On Wednesday, WWE announced that Isla Rukober, Kay Lee Ray, Jazzy Gabert, Primate Jay Melrose, and Oliver Sautner had signed with WWE for the NXT UK. Ron Arneal, better known as Ty Dillinger in the WWE, and now going back to the name Sean Spears, well, he's going to have his first post-WWE independent match at the Create a Pro Wrestling event in Lynbrook, New York on Friday, May 31st. His first post-WWE autograph signing will be at Heroes Hideout in Albany, New York on March the 16th. So go out and meet the former Perfect 10. It was reported on Thursday that Madison Rayne was unhappy with her creative direction in Ring of Honor and will be leaving the promotion. Well, one day later, she announced she would be rejoining Impact Wrestling, which is, come on, not a huge surprise, since she's married to Impact play-by-play announcer Josh Matthews. Former Knockout champion Rosemary, who has also wrestled under the name Courtney Rush, has signed a 2-year deal with Impact Wrestling. Congrats to her for escaping the Upside Down. Or, you know, wherever she was. New Japan Pro Wrestling announced on Wednesday night that David Finlay will miss the New Japan Cup due to a left shoulder injury. A replacement for Finlay has yet to be announced. Cody Rhodes announced that he will appear at AAA's Rey de Reyes event on Saturday, March the 16th. This is a part of AEW's deal with AAA, as was referenced at the most recent Double or Nothing press conference. Cody also made mention that AAA wrestlers will be a part of Double or Nothing in Las Vegas on Saturday, May 25th. For the first time ever, Will Ospreay will face Bandido at WrestleCon's Mark Hitchcock Memorial Super Show, which is taking place at the Hilton New York Midtown Ballroom in New York City at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, April 4th. That is, of course, WrestleMania. And speaking of WrestleMania weekend, MLW has confirmed a 2-hour live Battle Riot special on BN Sports for Friday, April the 5th. Though the time slot has yet to be determined, it is the same night as NXT TakeOver New York. And for those watching on TV, it's also the same night as the weekly New Japan show on Access. So very crowded night for wrestling. For those of you who don't know, the Battle Riot match is pretty fun. It's like the Royal Rumble. And the winner will get to pick their shot at the MLW Championship, which is currently being held by Tom Lawler. One final note, a story that just came out yesterday. If you plan to watch MLW Battle Riot, you may hear a familiar voice on color commentary, Jim Cornette. Yeah, Cornette made his Major League Wrestling debut last night, joining the broadcast team as color commentator. Cornette made his appearance at the start of the show, joining announcer Rich Bocchini. PW Insider reported that this is not a one-time appearance. He will be joining the promotion going forward as both a commentator and agent. Let's flip over to the world of MMA. UFC 235 took place last night, and it was a very bizarre show. The main event of the night consisted of the very heavy favorite, John Jones, defeating Anthony Smith, but it took him the full 5 rounds to do so, and Jones also decided to lay in several illegal strikes in the match, one of which he had 2 points deducted for, an illegal knee to a downed opponent. Now, there was a championship change on the card as Tyron Woodley lost the welterweight championship to Kamaru Usman in an incredibly one-sided fight that probably made GSP regret he ever retired. And in the match that I was most looking forward to, Ben Askren made his UFC debut versus Robbie Lawler, and after being suplexed and dropped on his head by Lawler within seconds of the fight starting, Askren then managed to recover, snagged a neck crank, and in a very strange turn of events, Lawler's arm looked to go limp, so as you would expect, referee heard Dean stop the fight, only to learn that Lawler was not knocked out. But the referee's decision stands. It was a very strange and controversial ending, and quite an anticlimactic debut for Askren, at least for me. I do expect a rematch for this one to happen. And once again, I'm interested in seeing, because both guys somehow, someway, got very close to winning this fight. And one final note here in the world of MMA, a sad one. Mirko Krokop Filipovic announced on Friday on Croatian television that he is retiring from MMA after suffering a stroke following a win over Roy Nelson last month on a Bellator show. He has just been released from hospital, and he told ESPN that he can never take punches to the head again. Hopefully, Mirko is able to recover from the stroke, as we have seen other performers in this industry do so. Someone like Bret Hart managed to recover from a stroke. But yeah, a retirement, I'd say, is long overdue for Mirko. We are going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit of what happened on WWE TV this week. Let's talk SmackDown and what is happening on SmackDown. Or what is not happening on SmackDown. All of those things. I'll explain what I mean when we return. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap.
Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. If you ever can't tune into the show live or miss a part or just want to hear it again, the shows are available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And it's only a buck a show. Plus, you get access to all of our patron-exclusive podcasts, which include NXT TakeOver review shows. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only a buck a show, and we appreciate the support.
Sideburns and my hair slick back. I'm coming to your town in my pink Cadillac. I'm just a honky tonk man.
He's a honky tonk man.
I'm just a honky tonk man.
He's a honky tonk man.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm bad.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event, and yep, there you have it, the Honky Tonk Man going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, I'm sure many of you may have thought I would start this show tonight with a real focus on Honky Tonk, being one of my all-time favorites, yes, and that has definitely been played up for all of my years doing wrestling radio. But let's face it, there's no one that actually deserves to go into the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame isn't voted on. It's merely a random selection process by people at the WWE. And already, you know, I went off last week on DX going in this year as the headliner, but that had nothing to do with the whole deserving factor. It was just the fact that it felt disappointing to fans that may have bought a ticket and just get to watch the same old guys run out there like we see every comeback opportunity on Raw. But I digress. Listen, I don't want to talk about the Honky Tonk Man going into the Hall of Fame this week. Instead, we'll do that in the trivia. What I want to focus on in this little opinion thing that I do at the top of the show is continuity and consistency in the WWE.
It's incumbent upon me as the chairman of the board to give all of you the highest caliber competition I possibly can. The biggest box office I can possibly give you. Therefore, Kobe, I'm replacing you. I'm replacing you with a man I've appointed that is more deserving than you, quite frankly. May I present to you the man who will face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane?
It's this man right here. It's this man right here.
Kevin Owens.
All right, so let me get this straight. Vince McMahon thinks Kevin Owens is a better opponent than Kofi Kingston for Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. Okay. There's a lot of angles to take on this. There's a lot of layers here. But let's start digging into the onion. Number one, there are a few people that were upset that Kofi has lost his main event spot at Fastlane, and I'm going to bet 90% of the people that listen to this show have actually figured out what's happening here, and that is the WWE has decided to ride the unexpected wave of Kofi popularity and push him into the match at WrestleMania. And good on him, because Kevin Owens is a cold match. And for some reason, the crowd is red hot for Kofi. So if fans want it, then for the love of God, why not give it to them? I mean, that's probably the number one complaint of all WWE fans. Wait. The number one complaint is 3-hour Raws. So this is probably the number two complaint of all WWE fans, that the company refuses to give fans what they want and instead dictate to the fans what they should want. So listen, credit where credit is due. Kofi's hot and the WWE is running with it. However, let's recap here. Kofi is set to sign the contract with Daniel Bryan. Then Vince McMahon comes out and says that Kevin Owens is the man to take his place. Kevin Owens. The same Kevin Owens who we last saw hanging out at bowling alleys and movie theaters, throwing gutter balls and asking a kid for change for a 20. A character that I still have yet to figure out, and now I guess I never will. But more importantly, the same Kevin Owens that headbutted his boss, Vince McMahon, in the center of the ring a couple of years ago and busted him wide open. I mean, remember that angle? The one that we all loved so much but also felt really guilty loving? At least I know I did. It was my angle of the year, and I kind of hated myself for making it so. But wow, it was so good. But both of these things that I just pointed out means that this angle doesn't make any sense as far as characters and continuity of storyline go. First of all, the stop and start character thing, I mean, I guess I can forgive that, but there was no need to put Owens on TV doing whatever that character was doing. He's not someone who needs vignettes. I mean, people know who he is. Spend the vignette time on the NXT talent that Lafayette didn't seem to know a couple weeks ago. And more importantly, the headbutt. I mean, come on. This Kevin Owens character, the entire McMahon family despises, in particular Vince. So why would he thrust Owens into this situation? And with McMahon presenting Owens, wait, doesn't that make him a heel? Plus, he replaced Kofi. So doesn't that make him a double heel? But he's facing Daniel Bryan. Hold on. Daniel Bryan is also a heel. So now we have two heels in this match. So who are the fans supposed to cheer for? And why are the fans supposed to care? Plus, this is 2019. Fans are conditioned to openly express their displeasure for booking decisions during matches. So by putting Bryan and Owens in this match together, is it not doomed for a Kofi chant during the entire match? And I guess they could book against that and somehow work Kofi into this, but really, you're wasting Owens and Bryan. What could be a great match and a great feud? These guys are top-notch talents, but ultimately, this is going to be ruined because all the fans simply want Kofi right now. Oh, wait, and that's not all here. Because look at the way this was booked. Especially this week on SmackDown, can someone tell me why Daniel Bryan was pinned once again? Over the past few weeks, Bryan has been pinned by Mustafa Ali, Kofi Kingston, and now Kevin Owens. This was an ideal opportunity to have Owens in the tag match pin Eric Rowan. Isn't that what Eric Rowan is there for? Just to get pinned? Just to stand beside Daniel Bryan and make sure you can keep your champion strong by having his sidekick get pinned? No one cares about the Vintner! Or, if you're going to pin Daniel Bryan, let Kofi pin him again. Just to showcase that Kofi is the right choice here and Vince has made a mistake. But I think the thing that made me the most upset out of this entire angle, what bothered me the most, is that it's just lazy. Because I just saw Vince McMahon walk out on Raw, and just like he replaced Kofi with Owens, he replaced Becky with Charlotte. The angle has already happened just a couple weeks ago. Wait, no, the angle's happening right now. Why am I watching the exact same angle on both shows? This is lazy. Granted, I guess the insanity of the Vince character is one thing that is consistent here. And I mean, I do always say the best characters are extensions of oneself. So I'm going to bet we see a lot more angles just like this as senile Vince McMahon finds his way onto your weekly TV screen over and over and over again. Get ready, folks. Going to take a break. When we come back, the return of Larry Zonka here to the program. He'll tell us about what's gone on in his life, and then we'll do what we do best, and that is talk about this week in pro wrestling TV, all that he watched and recapped. It's next, right here, Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. When I was just a boy, everybody told me what I should do and who I should be. I got some kind of free advice, I finally have to say, stand back, stand back.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
Well, we advertise it as an update, so should we get to the update? The good news is, I'm in remission, y'all.
Well, of course, the big story this week in the world of wrestling was Roman Reigns, his return on Raw, and he's back as a monster babyface, of course, right? But we have our own return here on the show from a very serious injury. One of our regular contributors, Larry Zonka. I remember looking back at Twitter a few weeks ago, and there was a joke on there about his weight loss program being on track, but you tweeted out a picture. He tweeted out a picture with a missing leg, and it really took me aback. And I know a lot of the listeners of this show have asked me about Larry's condition and what's happening, and he's been keeping us up to date a bit on Twitter, but I'm very happy to welcome back to the program Larry Zonka. Larry, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, man. I am very, very glad to be back.
So as I mentioned there, I saw the tweet. There was a missing leg, a leg amputation, and you had then tweeted out about the fact that this was an injury that just escalated. So, I mean, to the people who have seen that and don't know your current state and have been concerned, just give us a brief history of what's happened with you.
For one of the things we got for Christmas is, you know, my wife loves doing stuff outside and gardening and everything. And we got some paving stones. And we were doing some work in front of the house. And you know, I'm sitting there moving paving stones. And the next thing I know, I picked one up and it slipped out of the gloves. And it dropped down and it hit the front of my left shin and the top of my left foot.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, it was like, this sucks, hurt. Went inside, I cleaned it out and everything, wasn't bleeding a lot or anything and didn't seem too bad. And just was trying to keep it clean and everything. I figured if it got bad, I'd go to the doctor. And over the next week, it slowly and slowly started to get bad, like to the point like I'm reviewing Wrestle Kingdom and I have like 102 temperature.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you know, so I'm just not feeling well, and I kind of knocked that out, and I was feeling okay still. And then, like on the 6th, I was reviewing the Impact Homecoming pay-per-view, and as that show went on, I was just feeling worse and worse, and the leg was hurting more and more and more. So as soon as that was over, went to the emergency room, and as soon as I got there, I knew it was bad just by the looks of everybody in the emergency room. And basically, the infection escalated so quickly, and part of it was me being diabetic, but it escalated so quickly that, like, it wasn't like flesh-eating bacteria or anything like that, but it ate away most of the top layer of skin, and you could, like, see tendon.
Oh, man.
And stuff. Yeah, so they pretty much told me, they're like, you're going to lose at least your foot. So, like, Whoa. You need to know that right now. And so I was like, okay. I'm like, that sucks, but I'm thinking that's not too bad. It's a foot. I'm like, maybe I should have went in as soon as I got hurt, but I'm like, I'll deal with it. And then about 24 hours, they're like, we're taking you in for surgery. They're like, you know, the infection is just as bad in your shin.
Oh, man.
So we're going to, you know, amputate about 4 inches below the knee. And again, I'm like, okay, well, still have most of the leg. I'm trying to stay as positive as possible. Freaking out still, I'm not going to lie. I'm not, you know, I wasn't like super bravery here or anything, but I was freaking out a lot inside. And I was trying to stay as positive as possible. So they did that surgery, and then they were doing blood work, and the infection was a pretty severe blood infection. It messed with my heart a little bit, and so I was on about 6 or 7 different antibiotics. I just cycling through, taking all that, a lot of painkillers. And so I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well. And I'm trying to relax, and I'm trying to grasp what has happened. And I don't know how many people have been in the hospital, but when you're in the hospital, you get these doctors that pop in for about 30 seconds, and they talk to you, and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, no bedside manner. They're not really telling you much. Well, the surgeon pops back in, like, 3 days after that surgery, and he goes, Mr. Zonk, that's what you know, because you need to come to the You need to come to grips with the fact that we're going to be amputating above your knee now.
Whoa. So there's a second surgery?
Yeah. And I'm just like, and then he walks out on me. So I'm like calling the nurses. I'm like, we need to get this dude back in here. I'm like, because I need to know what's going on. You just can't walk in and drop that on me. So this is where I'm freaking out now, because I don't exactly understand what's going on. But basically when they did the first surgery, they thought that it was going to be enough, and it wasn't. The infection was still there, and they wanted to make sure they could still save as much leg as possible. So I ended up getting amputated above the knee, which is not idea, but isn't horrible. You know, I had a prosthetic guy come in and talk to me, and he's telling me all the good things they could do with prosthetics and everything now, and showing me videos and stuff, and he's trying to calm me down. And so I went and had that surgery, and that one went good, except like afterwards that I was the pain got really bad after that one.
Right.
So I was laid up. I actually had the little the pain button gimmick where they lock the pain medicine in the box, and
yeah,
like every 10 minutes I can hit the button. And so I was on that for a couple of days, and that started to clear up, and finally I get out of the hospital on February 5th. So I'm in there almost a straight month,
right?
From the 7th of January. And they're like, okay, so your next stop is you're going to this rehab center. They're like, you need to learn how to, you know, operate with the one leg, transfer in and out of a wheelchair, and basically strengthen my body and everything so I can get around until I get a prosthetic. So I went to rehab facility for about 17 days. Their goal is to get you out in like 14 or so. So I did pretty good. And I went there and I think the funniest thing was is I get to the rehab facility and they're getting me all checked in. And the lady goes, I get in the bed and they can weigh you like in the bed, which is obviously good because I can't stand. Mm-hmm. The lady's like, Mr. Zonka, how much do you weigh? She's taking all my info. And I'm like, when I went in, I was like 250, 255. And she looks at me, she goes, no. And so I'm like, okay, well, I lost like 10 pounds from the leg or something, right?
Yeah.
And apparently not. Apparently with all the diet and the fact that I was so bad off the infection and everything and I didn't have a great appetite. I left the rehab center. I was like 200 when I got there. I left at like 198.
Whoa.
So I'm officially a junior heavyweight now.
Okay.
I can compete in the cruiserweight division. So feeling pretty spry for a one-legged guy.
Well, I mean, it's great that you've kept a sense of humor about it. And of course, you know, I've had a lot of people ask, and I'm glad you're back doing what you're doing. And I'm glad you're able to resume doing stuff with us and watching. And I mean, all the best to you as you start, you know, the doing the rehab and, you know, getting back to your daily life, my friend.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It feels really good being back, just kind of doing what I was doing, you know, just reviewing shows and writing about stuff. And again, it's more of just getting back to a sense of normalcy for me.
Of course. And, you know, with that in mind, I wanted you to tell your story, but now let's do what we do, Larry. And that's shoot the breeze about what happened this week. And that was the return of Roman Reigns. Huge babyface coming back. I haven't mentioned it on the show as of yet and really got into it, but what were your thoughts about this Roman Reigns return?
That was one of those segments that was, it felt really cool because it actually felt like real and emotional, not only from him, but from the fans. And that was really nice. You know, it's like because say what you will about Roman, he's not everybody's favorite, and we've known that for a long time, but, you know, he went through a lot of stuff and to come back, and he seemed genuinely happy and moved over it, and I just thought that, you know, I'm watching that, and it, again, it felt real, but it felt like one of the coolest segments in a long time on that show, just to watch the fan reaction and everything. And, you know, he comes out and he kind of takes like the lap around the ring and he's shaking hands and hugging with fans and his family and everything. And just, it was, I guess the best way to put it is it was a great feel good moment. Now, I guess you can say that, and I saw some said it lost its effect when about 2 minutes after it was over, WWE was already showing his t-shirt in an email blast.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, I'm sorry, Larry, I do not have a Larry Zonka t-shirt ready for your return today, and I feel apparently that is customary with wrestling now, because you're absolutely right. It was 2 minutes after this segment, WWE sent an email blast to everyone that they had an email address for, got this blast of buy your Roman Reigns t-shirt, and it's the one that he was wearing that made the Roman Reigns logo kind of look like a cancer ribbon. I tell you, Larry, I would have been just fine with this if they had said a certain amount of the proceeds were going to leukemia awareness, etc., etc., but there was no mention of that.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what turned people off, because, you know, you had this emotional segment that it was, again, it was a nice feel-good moment. The fans are embracing this guy after his return. And it just, it was really nice. And then again, you know, 2 minutes later, at corporate chill time, let's sell some shirts. And don't get me wrong, WWE is a business. They're always going to be a business. and the wrestling business is sketchy anyway. But yeah, it's just like you couldn't wait, or you couldn't say, you know, because he's been pretty vocal about he wants to use his platform to, you know, spread awareness and everything. You know, I think that he would want it in there that, like, you know, proceeds are going to this.
Yeah. Or,
you know, this shirt is for this. But yeah, it just felt, I guess, a little too opportunistic.
Yeah, it was peak WWE, you know, being opportunistic.
Viva La Savings.
It was what, sorry?
Viva La Savings on, like, the Eddie Guerrero anniversary.
Oh, yes. Yeah, exactly. Just pretty brutal. Along with that on Raw this week, after that great moment and then slightly, you know, tarnished there. And along with that, also tarnished by the Baron Corbin interview as well, saying managing Raw is tougher than, you know, fighting leukemia. I just didn't see the need for this.
Yeah, and again, I think that's the best point about it. It's not even so much that it was in poor taste, because people chalk it up to he's a heel being a heel. But like you said, it wasn't needed. Nobody cares about Baron Corbin.
Nope.
Nobody wants to see him versus Roman Reigns.
Nope.
And he's a horrible promo. He sounded like he had a mouthful of marbles. He's like, well, the job is hard and the leukemia. It's like I'm sitting there watching that. And like, I think, you know, good friend of your show, Dave Meltzer, as soon as the Roman segment was over, he was like, you know, wow, that was amazing. And then they air the Baron Corbin promo, and Dave's next tweet was, and they ruined it.
I did the same thing. I watched it live because I knew this was happening, and I tweeted out even before it happened, how long till they turn this into an angle? And it was like one match later, they had turned this into an angle. I mean, it's to be expected from WWE at this point after we saw last, you know, year, all the Saudi Arabian stuff. And, I guess it didn't surprise anyone, but you can't, WWE just can't let us have nice things.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to. So Monday night, you had the dual promotion, though. Of course, there was the return of Roman Reigns. Along with that, there was the Ric Flair birthday. And the Ric Flair birthday really didn't happen due to the return of Batista. What'd you think of the angle at the end of the show?
I liked it just for the fact that part of the reason I really liked it is I think everybody was expecting something to happen with, like, Becky Lynch and Charlotte involved.
Right, yep.
Because that was, like, the big speculation all week. That, like, you know, is Becky going to ruin Rick's, you know, birthday and all that stuff? And then, you know, they went in a totally different direction and went with the Big Dave angle, and which they, you know, they did a light tease for that at SmackDown 1000. And that's, you know, Batista said if he's going to come back that, you know, he wanted to do the match with Hunter. And I liked it for the fact that, like, listen, you're hyping all night that it's going to be Ric Flair's big birthday. And then you got Big Dave walking in there, like the biggest douche in the world, dragging his carcass around backstage.
Yeah.
And just, and the best part about him is it wasn't that it was like a big angle in terms of length or that he said a lot, but he didn't need to because he was so intense about it. And plus, it you juxtapose that against the fact that you just had Hunter out there talking about how, you know, this is such a big night, and to me, Ric Flair is the greatest of all time, and he's my mentor and all this stuff. And then, you know, so you're playing the emotional angle there, and everybody's kind of like, well, why does Batista want the match with Hunter and blah, blah, blah. Listen, we've had one angle, one week. Can we give it a little bit to breathe?
Yeah, I'm not critical of this angle. I have to say, though, I was surprised that due to Batista's popularity with Guardians of the Galaxy and all that he's doing in Hollywood, and I mean, you know, comic book fans are wrestling fans and vice versa, and he's got a starring character. Like, I love the Drax character. He gets all the great lines. Batista coming back as a heel is interesting for me, but I'm guessing it's something he must have requested due to the absolute debacle that transpired last time when he returned with the fans wanting Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I think that's... I agree with that because I know a lot of people seem overly critical of that, but I'll say Big Dave being a big douchey heel like he was Monday night came across really good. And then I think the other thing is, too, is like you have to remember you're going to be dealing with a WrestleMania weekend crowd, and to that crowd, a lot of those people, you know, Triple H is God because he runs NXT.
But it's interesting because Triple H on the main roster is still kind of perceived as a heel. And in this particular scenario, he is the 100% babyface. And it really is that it's not Triple H authority figure Raw. It's Triple H, you know, you mentioned it, the NXT Triple H that I guess they're trying to get across here. And I mean, I suppose it can work because you're right. You are going to get a lot of smart fans. But WrestleMania is a traveling audience. WrestleMania can be a popular audience as well, as opposed to the real smarts that you'll get on Raw on the Monday.
This is true. It'll be interesting to see how it comes off. And I just hope that, because I mean, you know, I like Batista, but he hasn't wrestled since his last run.
Yep.
I love Hunter for what he does with NXT, but he does this match thing to where he thinks at all times he's 1989 Ric Flair. He thinks he can go out there with anybody and work like a 30-minute match.
Yeah, I mean,
and then it's going to be great. And you know, you look at the last few years, and that hasn't been the case.
And it won't be the case with Batista. I mean, there's no way that he and Batista should be going in there and doing 25 minutes. That should be, what do you say, 12 minutes? But I don't think they're going to hold to that.
Yeah, that's do Triple H's big entrance, 12 to 15 minutes, get out. But yeah, they won't, because it's just, it's like, and that's the one thing to where it's like, again, I love what he does with NXT, but he can't help himself sometimes when, you know, he gets in that mania spot. It's like, you know, we gotta, and again, it might not be all him, but it's just like, you look at his history though, and it's like, come on, Paul, you know better. You're smarter than that.
All right, let's flip over to the other brand. We haven't had the chance to talk to you for a while, and therefore we haven't had the chance to talk to you during Kofi Mania that has been happening, and the fans have really jumped aboard. This week, the turn with Kofi Mania is that Kevin Owens has replaced Kofi Kingston for the Fastlane pay-per-view for his match with Daniel Bryan. What are you taking out of this? What do you think this means?
It's interesting. The Kofi thing is, again, you know, because people are always like, you know, WWE doesn't push people and blah, 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 blah. But I've also always said so many times that they, every once in a while, show that when they want to, they will get someone over and push them. And, you know, Kofi was the guy, and unfortunately it came kind of at the expense of Mustafa Ali because he got injured.
Yep.
But still, I mean, you take a guy with Kofi that fans love New Day, he's been there forever, and, you know, you get some good performances, and it's really cool to see. The Kevin Owens return was, it was kind of weird because he comes out and they're thrilled to see him, but then at the end of the segment, they're still chanting for Kofi. So they're like, hey, we're glad you're back, but we were really cool with the other dude.
Yeah, there's been a lot of inconsistency with that angle as well, because Kevin Owens and those vignettes that they were doing, it seems like they had no idea when they were bringing him back and what he was going to be doing, and this definitely doesn't fit. Along with that, on Tuesday night, it was R-Truth doing the U.S. Open Challenge. And this was there this week simply to fuel Rey Mysterio and Andrade Cien Almas, which I'm a big fan of, and I hope to see those two wrestle at WrestleMania. The mask versus hair match, in my brain, that is definitely the way to go. But let's talk about R-Truth, which is strange that I'm spending time on this, but him having the U.S. title and doing this challenge, my thought, Larry, was that John Cena, because of what happened with Lars Sullivan just going AWOL, he's got no opponent at WrestleMania. He's someone that has been put on the back burner, so much so, especially with the Reigns return. Did R-Truth just pull the Cena card? And is this going to be the strange gimmick match that we have at WrestleMania with the open challenge and Cena answering?
Well, all I got to say is this. If R-Truth gets himself a Mania match with John Cena, God bless that man. No, listen, I love Ron Killings. I think he's really great. I think he gets overlooked just because of he was such a comedy figure for so long. But, I mean, look at this guy. He's had, like, the one major injury that took him out, like, his whole career. He's, like, he's never hurt. He's in fantastic shape for his age. He's always over. He always works hard. I remember I saw him at when TNA used to co-brand house shows with Hermie Sadler's UWF down here. And I used to go to shows sometimes. And that dude was over all the time, working like mixed tags with Jeff Hardy and stuff. And I always liked him. And I think it's just really cool to see him working hard for so long and getting rewarded. And yeah, if he gets a Mania match with John Cena, that is just like, you know what? It's like, hang it up after that, brother. You're good.
So, you know,
it's like,
with these dreams coming together at Mania, I mean, do you foresee the trifecta here? I mean, if Truth gets this match and Kofi could be winning the title against Bryan, and then, you know, Becky gets the title as well. Is this going to be a super happy WrestleMania, Larry?
I would like to think so. I would love the end of WrestleMania thinking, wow, that was really fun and I feel good after watching it, instead of, why was that show 17 hours long?
But you're still going to say that. Let's face it. You're still going to say, because it's going to be that long.
It's going to feel long still, but the thing is if there's a bunch of happy stuff and good wrestling happening, I don't notice it as much.
That's very...
You know, if I get like... If Becky wins and Kofi wins, I mean, especially Kofi, man, because nobody would have called that a year and a half ago.
Not even 3 months ago. No one would have called Kofi winning the title at WrestleMania. This is an incredible elevation, an incredible story if it happens. And why not, I say? I mean, you have the women's title above this. You have the Brock Lesnar match above this. This title is going to be placed on the mid-card, so why not give the fans a feel-good story in the middle of the card?
Yeah, basically.
Makes sense.
I don't disagree with it at all.
Larry, we got to go for this week. I do look forward to having you on sooner than later, though. And listen, man, all the best with your continued recovery. I know you're back to doing what you do and what I love to read after you do it. Where can people find all of your writing once again?
411mania.com, and I'm on the Twitter machine at LarryZonka411.
Well, thanks, buddy. Glad to have you back, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, man.
Great to hear Larry back here on the show. I will definitely be making that a regular as he gets back into doing what he's doing. And as I've always said, one of my favorite wrestling recappers, it's a matter of just adding a little bit of editorial into when you're recapping a show. And he does it great with a fun sense of humor as well. 411mania.com. All of Zonka's reviews are there. And follow him on Twitter. It's just great to have him back on the show. We got to take a break. We got to pay some bills. When we come back, though, it is Dave Meltzer time here on the program. We shall chat with Dave and get the scoop of all of the news of the week and the inside track. That's next. Whole nother hour, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Those were the days of our lives. The bad things in life were so few.
Thanks for finding Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio. If you ever can't tune into the show live or miss a part or just want to hear it again, the shows are available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And it's only $1 a show. Plus, you get access to all of our patron-exclusive podcasts, which include NXT TakeOver review shows. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only $1 a show, and we appreciate the support.